Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. I want to thank you for joining us today. And actually, I was told by our producer that this is our 300th episode. So thank you for joining us and sharing our show and making it the success that it is. And actually, I feel really grateful that today our guest is somebody who has expanded outside of our purview, our initial purview. She is a woman who contacted me, I think out of desperation, to get her voice heard. Her name is Erica Dugan. Her whole family has been affected from chemical pollution in Oklahoma. And Erica, thank you for joining us. I'll let you tell your story. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Lonnie. This is very pertinent right now with what our country is facing. But there's concerns about methods that energy companies are using, increasing illness, national health care costs, disintegrating infrastructure, drought, flooding, climate change, and dwindling clean water resources. I feel that, unfortunately, my family can serve as an example to discuss this and to discuss how we address this, because we've tried to live through how to address it, and it has affected our health, and we do have proof of all of that.
Proof that your health has been affected.
Right. Unfortunately. Yeah. And our children and ourselves and our pets.
Wow.
So people tend to say it's like an Aaron Brockovich kind of story, but it's more like the civil action book and movie kind of story, and how it's just a long rolling disaster, and it encompasses a lot of things, and it's really hard to sort through all the pieces and get it all figured out. But
so you were living in Oklahoma, right? Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Right. We purchased a home in the suburbs of Tulsa, which is Broken Arrow is the name of the city, in about 2001. We wanted to move our children to a community that had sidewalks, neighborhood parks, a nice circle drive where kids could play in the driveway safely and grow up with kids that went to neighborhood schools and kind of go back to the time that we had, but give them something even better than what we had. So we moved there and started having, I initially had some illness right away, but, you know, just thought that was exhaustion from moving in the summer and didn't think much about it. Then we had a child that got sick. Well, actually, both of our children got sick, and they were 4 and 5 years old, so we attributed that to moving to a different school district, being with more children, being exposed to more things. We had a sewer backup into our house as part of the, you know, when storms happen, it kind of overloads the system, and so we attributed it to that. We got that cleaned up with our insurance company, didn't see that anything would have been a problem with that, moved on, and then at some point, our oldest child had been getting sick and stopped getting better, and she had a problem with her digestive system where what logically we could all figure out was she would eat something and she couldn't digest right, and we didn't know what was going on with that. So we sought doctors. She eventually, logically, as only an 8-year-old child would do, figured, well, if I eat less food, I have less pain. So started eating less food. Of course, that wasn't a good situation. So dug through all of that, went to a counselor, found out for sure she had no reason to be anorexic. She had no depression or anxiety. What she was enduring was really physical. And she advised us to do everything we could for our child to figure out what was causing her the physical harm. And so we went on this journey. That's kind of where it started. As we were on it, our son got sick too, and we first thought, well, maybe he was craving attention because she was so sick, and she was, you know, you could get to the point where you could visibly see the differences in her losing muscle, losing weight. And then he had other problems, and we got to the bottom of that and found that his were real problems too. They weren't emotional, they weren't psychological. And he was playing four sports, so he was very active. And we had another child, our third child, while we were living in the home. And after she was born, she experienced significant illness. So at some point, after the youngest child became so ill, we almost lost her. We had been being sent to specialists for our oldest child kind of here and there and didn't really have answers. But after this has happened with our youngest child too, our doctors finally stepped up and tried to find us answers. And we ended up getting a diagnosis. There was all four of us, my three children and myself, were diagnosed with a primary immune deficiency. And to explain that, people don't understand. They think it's like something you can go and buy some yogurt to fix. Your immune system's not working right, they think. But no, it's actually like a stem cell, cellular level thing coming from your bones. It's a higher level testing that shows that you basically don't make the soldiers that stand on the line and fight. So you get lots of infections, and you are vulnerable to things that other people might not be vulnerable to. So we went on this journey to figure out how to treat this, how to care for this, how to meet other people who have this, how to make hard choices, like we have to go on a series of plasma-type medications, which are expensive, and they come from products that people donate that's, you know, part of the blood. So we had to go on that journey as well, and ended up in Houston, seeing higher level specialists there. We're very happy with our care, but our son got very sick, and what we found later was something had attacked his heart, and they did not want to put him on the IG therapy because he seemed
healthy.
What
year was that, if you don't mind me jumping in? What year was that?
2009. So we moved in 2001. Our oldest daughter couldn't get better, I would say, about 2004. Our youngest daughter was born in 2005 and was very, very sick in 2006, ended up having over 20 pneumonias by 2008, and that's when we ended up getting some sort of diagnosis. And then we went on the quest for treatment, but our son continued to have illness and didn't get him put on the therapy, even though they asked for him to be put on the therapy at diagnosis. You know, there was a lot of politics with insurance. And after he was very ill with that. He could never get better. He lost his quality of life, and still to this day, he hasn't got better from that illness in 2009. What we came to find over time, of course, as you can tell, it's a very long story. In 2012, we finally found that the gas leaks that we had reported smelling in our backyard by the gas meter outside of our house may have worked themselves inside to our house. And we called on that to see if maybe that's why we kept having continued illness, even though we were traveling to Houston and working with these specialists. We did have other issues developing in different systems that our specialists in Houston were seeing in patients like us, but we were struggling with getting those treated. Being in Oklahoma, they didn't want us to see more than one specialist in Houston, so we had a lot of problems there. But basically, 2012, we found those leaks, had them investigated, ended up finding 8 of them, many of them upstairs near our bedrooms. Yeah. So we thought, oh, we'll have these repaired and we'll get better, and maybe this is what's, you know, keeping things going on.
Yeah.
We went and saw, we were referred to a toxicologist, but we found in our state that's quite interesting. There are not really any toxicologists that our physicians could find that would see regular patients suffering from environmental illness. They might see someone for some research item that's specific, or they might dwell more on the recreational drug side of toxicology or something like that. But we just finding someone to help you with environmental toxicology, we found to be a problem. We had to go out of state for that too. We went to Texas again because it's, you know, closest, has a lot of specialists and opportunity. We were referred there by one of our physicians because he said, basically, I don't know how this is affecting you, if this is affecting you or what. So we were sent to what's called the Lead Clinic in which, you know, today this makes more sense. To the, back then, it didn't. None of it made sense to me. We were sent to the Lead Clinic in Dallas, Texas, and weren't even allowed to see an actual toxicologist there. We met with like 3 or 4 ER physicians and basically told them our story, showed them what we found, and thought, yay, we're finally going to get, you know, the treatment we need and get people better. But to our surprise, we just kind of got more information, and they said, here's the deal, we're thinking that you have these, you could have these shale gas mines storing gas in your area that caused these problems. And we're like, what? And I really don't know what's fully affecting you. So what we would do in Texas is we would send you to the health department and we would have them further investigate. You know, there could even be something in the house that you're not aware of that we would have tested, and here we would just send you to the health department. They would take care of all that. But in Oklahoma, they hadn't done the Title 55. I don't know, something you can opt into from the government that helps you pay for that kind of testing in someone's home, I guess, my understanding. And Oklahoma had opted out of that. So we did not have that opportunity. So he didn't really know what to tell us to do, that one of the lead guys in that group that was talking to us. And he said, I do see that your daughter is detoxing in front of us. And this is the oldest one that had been battling, you know, for all this time.
Wow.
I do see that she's detoxing right here in front of us. And you need to find out what's still there because I don't think you've got it all. And the only thing I know to do is give you these names of environmental testing companies and figure this out and, you know, understand this is at a point where we've already gone through so much with treatments and going out of state to doctors. And, you know, we've spent quite a lot of money just keeping everybody alive. And so we go back home. They didn't even treat her detoxing symptoms. I had to go take her to the pediatrician after I got home and treat some breathing problems and things that she was having. And one thing they said before we left was, to find somebody to test our home better and to see if we could get the whole family out of the house for a week or 2 weeks and see if multiple members start having those symptoms.
You know, I have a question. Were your neighbors affected like this?
Yes, our neighbors did have effects. Some of them even died.
Oh my gosh, so it's the whole little community there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think it spreads out, you know, more in the community. I know I sent you our report. What happened was we ended up going to our insurance company and saying, hey, I have this rider that would allow me to get out of the house for a while. Can I use it to see if we have these symptoms like the doctors told us? This is what we've been going through. This is what they said. And they said, well, let's do you one better. Let's test your house for you. And they did. And they found that we had illegally high levels of bromodichloromethane and chloroform in our water.
Oh, my God.
The insurance company decided to test our water. I don't know if because they already knew there was something or why. I don't know why they decided. But they did tell us that they were concerned about how our fixtures had looked. And I know that we had, since moving to this house, was a newer house. We had moved from a house that was built in the 50s, and we moved to this newer house that was built in, like, 1997, 1998. And the fixtures had deteriorated faster than anything we've ever known in our lives. And we had to replace them. But we just thought that was because they were newer fixtures and they just weren't made as good anymore. You know, we had all these excuses where we wrote it off and moved on. And we had brown water come out sometimes, but I just thought that was, you know, dirt in the system when they changed out the pipe and didn't really know what the significance of the brown water was until things started coming out later. And
did you ever consider putting like a shower filter in? Did you try any of that stuff? Did that help?
Yeah, we learned a lot about that. We wanted to, you know, try to spend what money we had left on something that would actually work. So we learned a lot about that. We learned about you have to, in order for it to work, for all of those specific chemicals, you have to have granular activated carbon. And we learned that spring water was better than purified water because purified water comes from your own city, your own tap. We learned all of that.
Wow.
Tried the shower filter and they filled up so quickly. We even purchased a system through Culligan. Sorry to throw a name in there, but through a water system and found that our filters were filling up too quickly and had to be changed too often. And so this led us to trying to figure out what was going on with the city. The reports we had from the private source just basically said this wasn't our home, and they told us to get it retested and make sure that it wasn't just a one-time occurrence. And we ended up going to the health department in Tulsa and said, hey, we got this from, you know, our test, and we don't know what this means. And the head person in the lab looked at our levels and looked at the chemicals and said, this is in your water? Yes, this is in our water. This is in your city water? Yes, this is our city water. Are you sure it's not a well? No, it's not a well. You need to call the DEQ right now. You need to get this to them right now. I was like, I've already tried to call them. They're not interested. They don't want to talk to me. No. Fax this over to them. Tell them I said that they need to look at this. And so I did. And then they were concerned. Finally, it took a while. They kind of tried to brush it off, but they were concerned and they came out. And they tested, and the state did find that the levels were still high, that they were at an unsafe level, and that it wasn't just in our house, it was in our line, and they attributed it to, you know, affecting more than our house. It wasn't just something gone wrong in our immediate area, it was something bigger and more widespread. So we came to learn that our city maybe kind of knew about this, but was trying to come up with a new water plant and looking at using chloramines and different options that I guess they had hoped to keep it under wraps a little longer, but as finding this made it come out. So
that it sounds like this was like occupied. I mean, it practically killed your children. I mean, did you, what did the city say when you went to them? Did they own any of it? Did they want to find out what's going on?
No, it was, we met with the risk manager and talked to them and thought that maybe that would help. They basically just wanted us to sue them. We did place a tort claim and they declined it. We would have to then get a lawyer and sue them in court. We did find a lawyer, but the lawyer kind of wanted to negotiate things down with us. And by this time, we had found our way to, basically what we had experienced was considered a poisoning. So we found our way, I found my way to North Carolina and said, you know, when we found this, our doctors were forced to fire us. Other doctors were brought in that were kind of minimizing things and trying to make it look like, oh, it's not as bad as it is. And I realized that we had stepped into some, you know, very what seemed corrupt dealings, and this wasn't ever going to help us get better. So I started trying to find toxicologists in other states and said, you know, this is what's happening to me. What do you think? What do I do? Am I going to have to, even though we're all very sick, and we were very, very sick then, do I have to move my family to another state? What do I have to do? And I finally got this toxicologist in North Carolina, and he said, I know what you need to do. You shouldn't have to leave your support system. You shouldn't have to leave your community. You need to call this regional poison control, and they will hook you up with this group that's trying to help families that have these kind of problems. And he set me up with one, but it was the wrong region. I ended up, you know, how all that red tape always works, ended up going, finding the right region finally, and found my way to the poison control, doing an actual report with the poison control, sharing the information that we had found. And excuse me, they gave us a representative from the Pediatric Environmental Health Unit. I think it's called PSHU, P-E-H-S-U, something like that. But that's the report that I sent you that you have. Mm-hmm. And she went through, she interviewed me. She took a whole day and interviewed me and went through all of the details and what we had experienced for many years, and which is, you know, more than I'm going to have time today, but went through all of that, took our documents, and ended up writing a report to show, you know, how it's related, how it's not related, and you have that, and it shows how it is related. She asked for certain things for us to have a lawyer for advocacy for our children, and said this would be lifelong problems, and that our youngest child needs to especially be monitored because of the cancer-causing chemicals, and she was in utero during that time. Our son needs especially to be monitored because we sent him to the ball fields with a jug of water that we thought, we lived in a beautiful suburban community, we didn't know, you know, we thought the water was fine. We filled up the jugs and sent him to baseball, to soccer out in the heat with the big jugs of water. So he had a little more exposure that way because, you know, he was exercising and using more fluids. But so she had written all of that and came up with that from just interviewing me and going through the reports and her knowledge. And she is trained in environmental health issues and how, and she provided all the MSDS sheets, the chemical safety sheets, and what those chemicals meant and all of that. So basically, we're thinking we have this report now. We'll show this to the doctors, and that'll make things better. They just didn't really understand. They just didn't want to believe. That still made us continue to kind of feel shunned by the medical community. We continued to endure real health problems, and we continued to have to seek out professionals who would help us figure those out. We ended up figuring out that our son had untreated and undiagnosed tumors, and still to this day, those are not fully diagnosed, and right now they're not even being followed. Wow. So we find some doctors along the way that help us, but then kind of in exchange we get dinged back for, like, they'll help us do this, but then they'll put something in our record that makes us look like we have just obesity or something, you know, something behavioral like that, because our metabolism's been messed up by this too. And, you know, they'll add something different, maybe even that our liver is an alcoholic liver, even though we have come across a researcher over the years who's researched our specific chemical. And I know this gets confusing listening to me because there's so many health things. You almost sound like a hypochondriac. But basically what happens is this is a cancer-causing chemical, and it affects multiple systems in your body. So multiple systems are poisoned. And so we have the immune deficiency. There's question of if that was genetic and it turned it on in everyone, or if it is acquired by being exposed. There's questions of that. But we also have
all of these symptoms you say, everything you're talking about really speaks to you guys being contaminated through nuclear pollution, uranium or nuclear pollution. As you're speaking, I'm doing a quick, brief look on the internet. It looks like that little city was affected by some nuclear pollution in the late 70s. So that's a avenue you should look into, because that isn't the number. What's one of the things that they do is they never, ever, ever tie anything back. We've had lots of nuclear accidents around the country. And so I haven't looked into it. I'm finding it, but because the symptoms that you were talking about are almost identical to what Dr. John Goffman says presented themselves in the uranium mines in Rocky Flats. I know that's kind of a curveball, but I mean, it's an avenue. Not that you'll get any relief, but it might give you the reason that I look at that is because I always map when I interview people. I always map where they're at. When you tell me where you're at, I go to the Google map, and I found your little city. And you guys are right below the Osage Reservation, and pretty much our government uses them as lab rats, you know what I mean? They have done all kinds of uranium and nuclear experimentation. Not that it's not disconnected from, and this is exactly how it's worked. This is why the show has had to expand. While they were contaminating our country with nuclear pollution and having accidents everywhere and not telling anybody, they opened the floodgates on chemical pollution from Monsanto, Bechtel, God knows who else. And our water, as you're seeing, your water supply has been decimated. Your neighbors were affected. So did you guys get together with your neighbors and try to form a community action group or anything like that?
We did. We had a neighbor who was very politically active, and we thought that she would be a great help to us, but we ended up finding the other political side of that.
What do you mean by that?
There's a senator that was working to show that our water was better, I guess, than another state's water, and that we could bottle it up and sell it to the other state who was suffering with water resources. And
a state senator or a federal senator?
Well, I may be a little confused on that because I'm not
okay.
A political
That's all
person.
Right. Yeah.
But, I mean, he even had a campaign where he was saying there was the other side was against him doing that.
Wow. So
it was basically very politically important. It was politically important for it to be known that our water is not contaminated.
Dangerous. Yeah. They were trying to sell everybody a bill of goods. I mean, don't they feel like snake oil salesmen? Those guys that are trying to, I mean, this is really literally murder. This is decimated your family. This is so outrageous. Yeah. So did you guys end up having to move away? Like, how long did it take you to finally, you said you moved. How long did it take you to decide, you know what, we can't do this. We've got to get out of here.
We had tried to move to Houston, but we are very much Oklahomans, and we have large families on both sides. And my mother was getting very ill and having heart problems, so it was kind of hard for us to decide to move away. Plus, I was ill by then, and my son was very ill, not able to even get out of bed. So it was. We couldn't see where we should move to Houston and things would get better. We met with them and, you know, they would tell us what they were going to do. And we couldn't see where we had a clear plan where we could, you know, move there. And we didn't have jobs there. We tried a little bit and it didn't work out. But then a job came up in the Oklahoma City area, the Norman area. And our oldest was graduating from high school finally after all she's been through. And we had friends saying, you know, you've been through so much, you can't move that far away. So we were like, okay, we'll look at the job in the Norman area. My husband did, and it would have given us more cash flow to be able to afford more help with medical, we felt like. So we did move for that. But as soon as we moved here, they removed my thyroid and found I had thyroid cancer.
They decided to remove
my daughter, the oldest one, the one who had the stomach problems way back then, which, by the way, I don't know if you noticed in the report, what they found was the chemicals, I guess, had burned or damaged the ileum in her stomach.
Yeah.
That was going on way back then.
Wow.
And so we were, you know, dealing with quite a lot, and then our youngest daughter, they decided to do sinus surgery on her around the same time. So we had a lot, and it was a lot on my husband. It was a lot on our family.
I can't imagine what you've gone through.
Still trying to fight for our son.
Definitely not the American dream. This is the American nightmare.
Right. So it ended up that now we have a very low income lifestyle, so that my husband can be more available, because we just continue to face cycles of illness, and we continue to face a lot of angst in the doctor's office, because they can't just do one surgery and make it all better. And we do need to be followed, and we do need all these things addressed, and we're still fighting that. And to the point that the school has even gotten involved with the doctor's office in the past year. And the school acted like, you know, they were going to help us by keeping our youngest child's vital signs to show that she's having distress and she isn't better. But then something flipped around, and basically they were trying to get the doctor to change the parameters to make her not look as sick. And we found documentation of that, and we proved that. And we went to the school and said, you know, you can't act like you're going to help us and hurt us. The current legal place we have ended up going is trying to get I don't know if you know anyone who's ended up with disability, that was recommended by our physician in our report, was that, and it's been recommended by facilities out of state, that if we would get our Social Security approved, then there might not be as much angst, because the private insurance companies are able to be kin to each other and kind of continue to cause us that angst in our medical record. But the professionals have felt like, the health professionals have felt like, the Social Security Medicare system isn't able to do that as much, and we would have more repercussions there to help ourselves if they did do it. So that's what we've currently been fighting. We've had our hearings for that. And most people, you wait and you wait and you wait to have a hearing. They make you wait years.
Are you talking about disability? Are you talking about getting on disability? Okay.
Yes, because we need that for our multiple health conditions.
That's for you and your husband? You're trying to get on disability?
No, myself and two of my children.
The two
children that are still at home that are the sickest, that are still not getting what they need. And that are, you know, continuing to even suffer with an infection sometimes. And
being bounced
from doctor to doctor. And I'm trying to make it look like it's our fault, but it's, you know, it's the system. So that is where we're at, that we need help with currently.
Now, have you gone to your state Congress? You know, your congressman should have a liaison's office that help people interface with these types of things. Have you talked to them?
Well, that goes back to the situation with the water and trying not to make it look like it has a problem for industry reasons, for possibly selling it, using it as an income source for our state, reasons that they are looking at. And the governor has been involved with that. There's proof of that. You can look back in Tulsa World articles about that. We have gone to the governor. We have asked her for help just with our medical, just with our son's tumors, and found that to be not helpful. We found that the health department wasn't able to help us because the governor, which is happens to be Mary Fallon, took the jurisdiction away from the health department to help people with environmental health concerns. She took the jurisdiction away from the DEQ to kind of bridge us more with someone to help us with the health concerns, and they just kind of threw that to the EPA. And as you've heard, Scott Pruitt, who was our attorney general, who I can't say he personally knew about our situation. I can tell you I have met him before this happened. But I can't say he personally knew, but I do have papers from his office where they declined to help us. And
then
Scott Pruitt is aligned with Langford, who is our person that we would hope to look to on something like that. So I don't see where. A lot of times when we open this up again, go back to the health department, then we lose our doctors again, then we start losing our IV medicine or it's threatened, and that's the
So what you're saying is that if you make too big of a stink, your medical care gets threatened.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a direct link to your political activity to resolve this and the effect on your medical care. And that's why you say getting on disability, they would be less inclined to affect you because they don't have the influence with the medical system inside of disability.
Well, that's what we're told by the experts, and that's what we've been told to do. But
wow.
Like, we had that hearing in December, and most people find out the week after their hearing, after you've waited all that time to finally get your hearing. And here it is, April, we still have no answers. So they've delayed and denied. It's kind of like the private insurance, delay and deny. So we're still stuck in. And most other people that we know in our communities, I mean, they didn't have the political problem behind their illness. They find out theirs within a week after they've waited so long to get to the hearing, and we still can't get those answers.
Wow.
And problem with that is, if you know, the federal government may have to get involved if they say yes, this is right, and yes, we need to do this for you. So I think that's what we're being told, why ours might be taking longer. But I don't know.
This is so outrageous, Erica. I am so sorry for the suffering of your family. Now, you guys still live in Tulsa? Did you move away to Tulsa? Is that where you moved to?
We live in Norman. That keeps us close enough to our family. We did end up losing my husband's mom last year, so I'm glad we weren't all the way in Houston or somewhere else, because we were able to sort of be there for that and not be too far away.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're the sandwich generation, but we're sick too. It's not just taking care of our kids with chronic illness. We have chronic illness. We did have an autopsy on one of our pets that died, because we did have a small animal vet that felt that what she saw when we left the house, this animal broke out with tumors everywhere after we left the house.
Wow.
And she'd never seen anything like it, so she kind of helped us get through the end of his life. And so you can't just say, I mean, the things that the system has tried to say are that, you know, maybe I did something naughty when I was younger.
Blame the victim. That's their typical response, is blame the victim. Do you think that this is related to fracking in any way? I mean, I've been sort of searching around, and it looks like that on the Osage Reservation, there was actually, and I don't know what they call it, but it's they had some type of a oil retrieval system on the Osage Reservation where they showed high levels of radon escaping. You know how they, I guess that was from the fracking. This was in 97 when this report was listed. So it's all from the chemicals. It's all from the chemicals. It's all from the toxic use. Now, what about the water? When you went to the water company, did you ask them and you showed them what was in your water? Did you say, how can we stop this? I mean, what was their response to you?
We went to meetings and we listened and we talked to them, and they had a plan. And it was interesting because I thought when your community decides to, you know, build a new water plant or something, have to go to a whole vote, that they figured out ways around that. And they had a whole plan, and it was really disturbing. And it was disturbing for our community. Our community was upset, and they ended up buying water from Tulsa for a while and switching our pipes to Tulsa, and used us as an excuse to turn on chloramine. And there had been a group of activists in Tulsa who had been researching chloramines, knew about chloramines. They had even a lawyer from Aaron Brockovich's group who used to be a water plant manager. His name was Bob Bocock. And we went and listened to him, just, you know, again, just trying to figure out how we were going to ever be safe and how we were going to get better. And he explained that, you know, chloramines are worse. And when I looked up on the EPA's website and those chemicals that we were exposed to, just on their very website, it said that chloramines are worse and they make those chemical levels higher. And I asked the EPA for a monitoring site by my house, because I looked into it and I found out that they were allowing my city to pick their own monitoring sites.
Wow.
And said, well, that makes it where you can change those water reports you send out to people and make it look like they're not as bad as they are. And they explained to me that my area was the lowest lying part of the plain, and that area, there's, you know, like I said, there's so much I could teach you about all this that I've learned, but so that area might have been affected more. Plus, it was at the end of the line where they were bringing stuff in from the other city.
Yeah, but what did they do to reverse that? Like, okay, you brought them the information. Did they implement any action to try to clean up the water? I mean, is the state doing anything? I mean, this is kind of like the situation in Flint, where we're just watching our children get sick and die, and the elected officials all sit around a table and go, wow, it's really bad, it's really bad. And then nobody, to this day, Flint still has toxic water that's poisoning people. Oklahoma, we heard about the stories with people coming out with brown water, like you said, out of your pipes. Nothing goes on.
Yeah, and I can show you pictures of my pipes in the second house we moved to, we thought would be safe. And yeah, they're ugly. When they took them out, they're ugly. Wow. Well, I guess how
and
you have
think
to
about what this has done financially to your family. I mean, right. This is drained you. I mean, you guys have not been able to explore the American dream because your husband's out there working. You guys are out there working every day, hard working, and all of it is being poured into the medical industry, who's giving you no real assistance to stop the contaminants.
Well, I can tell you what they have done is they've replaced pipes. I don't know if you've seen this. There's a lot of cities doing this right now, I think, because what they've done is replace pipe because the infrastructure is broken. And that does go back to what we did learn was there was holes all in the pipes. The pipes are broken down.
Yeah, but Erica, the pipes are broken down because they're being it sounds like the erosion from the chemicals in the water. Like you can replace the pipes, but if you don't fix the water, they're going to break again. And the people are still going to get sick.
When we did get those pipes taken out of our second house, coincidentally, there's lots of fun stuff that happens at the hairdresser. I went to the hairdresser just to get my hair cut, and lo and behold, there was a geologist getting his hair cut before me. Imagine that would happen. But I was telling her, she was from the area, and she was very concerned. And I was telling her what we were finding and how, you know, this just was like this never-ending nightmare. We thought we moved to a better house. It still had problems. We took the pipes out. Here's what the pipes look like. And he looked at them and he said, I'm a geologist, and I can tell you that is not normal breakdown. That would not just happen from being in the ground. Something has done that. And I'm like, you know, I don't need to hear this because what am I going to do with it? And I guess, you know, I'm kind of the way some of the politicians are, sitting here going, what are we going to do with all of this mess? But I've hooked on to what are the things we do need to address, but no one will, you know, sit down and say, what are those things you need addressed? Even though I had a report that said these are the things that need to be addressed, no one will follow that because there's just a lot of dismissiveness and disbelief and overwhelmed with the whole situation, I think. And that's what you see probably, I'm guessing, in Flint, too.
Well, I think we're seeing that everywhere.
They want to just do one thing and fix it, but there's a lot of things that cause the problem.
Right.
So you can't do one thing and fix it. But, yeah, he did feel like it was probably the oil and gas fracking.
Yeah.
And we do have a lawsuit that's gone on. And that has really upset my husband and I because it's like we care more about what the earthquakes have done to our building than what it's done to our children and what it's done to ourselves. Because even in that case, there's a lot in that case, if you can find a copy of it and read it, there's a lot in it about how the chemicals have leached into the ground and messed up the underground springs and the underground pipe systems and blah, blah, blah. There's a lot in that if you really get all the pieces of it and read it. So it does make you, you know, want to understand which industry. At the same time, I know we need energy. I know we need all of that. And I wouldn't want to live in the country without it. So, I mean, it's a hard balance and it's hard.
Yeah, but, you know, they can follow safe practices. This is the issue. They have not followed safe practices. And my view is now that we see the rooster's coming home to roost, like the or whatever that phrase is, we're beginning to see it's catching up with us. We've had 50, 60 years of nuclear and chemical dumping, disregard for human life. But the issue is the reason we have this electricity is so that we can live a better quality of life, right? Like my friend Thomas Ackerman and I, we both say this, like we'd rather live in complete darkness if it meant that we could get back to having clean water and clean air. I mean, we could live with candlelight again. We could figure something out. But what we can't do is sustain life on the planet unless I think that the nuclear industry, the chemical industry, we don't need to punish them. We basically, like, instead of making America, quote, great again, we need to make America clean again. We need to have industries that are full bore ahead, figuring out how to clean up our water, how to clean up our sand, I mean, and our dirt. I mean, we do know that, like, microbes is a good remediation thing to help us rebuild our soil. But it's everywhere. There is I doubt if there's even 100 square miles in the United States that is not fully contaminated, to be honest. And it's a shock. Like, just as you were talking, I found this abstract from the United States Geological Service, where they found this was written in 1997, open file report 97-28, and It basically is showing it was done. They did a study on the field in that Osage Reservation, 95, 96, where they were fracking it before they went hog wild. They did it a lot on Indian reservations. And what they're finding is exactly what you're talking about: salt, soil salination, severe erosion. It's so beyond the pale. As an American, I don't know how you feel, but as an American, I'm nonplussed. I'm actually shocked that the good practices that we knew would work have not been implemented.
Yeah.
I mean, and to and we're considered radical if we just demand that they use those good practices. Like, that's what's the odd part. We're considered like, oh, that's too unrealistic. It's going to cost them too much money. I don't think so. If you can sustain, I mean, this is the issue. It's like these healthcare CEOs, right? Well, we have to have this premiums so that we can sustain our company. Well, the CEOs make $34 million a year. I mean, that's the outrageous part of it. Like, how can you have, you guys are having trouble. You have depleted your entire financial resources for the medical industry.
Yeah.
I mean, we're assets on a balance sheet to these people. This is
Yeah.
the shock of it. Wow.
Yeah, if I was invited to DC to sit down and say, "Hey, what do you think we should do about this problem?" Since you've really, I mean, you were always educated and you had to analyze this. Just so you know, I'm a journalist, a journalism. I have a journalism degree, and I worked in the public relations field and did promotions for what I consider to be good events, good companies, for many years. So, and I worked with TV stations, radio stations. So, and I put people in interviews like this. I would tell them what to say and all that. But you know, it's been really hard to kind of move to the other side. But what I would say is,
Wow.
I would say we have done research that our taxes have paid for. I've
Right.
learned a lot about the NIH system, and I've also learned that it's very political too, because it's based on political funding. But I have learned, you know, that we've done a lot of research there, and we do have research on how environmental affects health and what it does. And the problems that we're seeing in health match that research. So let's take that. Let's work with the CDC. Let's, you know, if we were going to have Ebola here, or if we were going to have something else, we would put out a fact sheet to all the physicians and say, "This is how you deal with the problems that you're seeing."
Yeah.
And I worked in healthcare too, so I understand how this works. But from a marketing and public relations side, that's what we would do for our physicians, is we would say, "Here's the problem. Here's how we expect you to run it down and deal with it." We haven't done that for our medical system. Our medical system is kind of left to go, "Well, it's your fault because you eat too much. Well, it's your fault because you probably drink too much. That's why your liver looks like this." We're not telling them, "Look at what this chemical does to someone's liver." You know, we're not doing that. And so that's our first step, is we need to inform our medical communities how to address this, that it is real, and that we are going to address that. I know this
I don't think
doesn't
they're
always.
allowed to talk about it. I think it's
Well,
just, I mean, they're just, I really don't. I think if a doctor actually comes out against it, we've seen this time and again where physicians start speaking out. In fact, look at the lady that's in the most well-known Flint. Look at that doctor's office. She was severely harassed. I mean, her, it's not like implicit. You know, I mean, it's not explicit, it's implicit. They cannot, there's no thing that tells them they can't, but they really will not. It's the secrecy. Again, it gets back to this whole story that started after World War II, the secrecy issue. No one's allowed to talk about it. Or if you
yeah.
do, you get reprimanded. And that is the culture that needs to end. And I think I want to thank you, Erica, for being willing to speak out. And I did not know that you were a journalist, and I'm really grateful for that, because you understand the process probably way better than I do. And you know, I think that this is the most important thing. That's why I've opened my sh this is why I've taken this opportunity I'm very grateful to the producer of this show, Jules, to allow me to have this 5 days a week so that I can interview people who have been affected. And because this has turned you into an activist. I mean, this isn't what you wanted to do, but it has turned you into an activist.
Right.
And in that, it also demonizes you in this society, because if you speak out against it, they look at you as if you're we talked about this yesterday on my radio show, how if you're speaking out against something that, you know, like nuclear or whatever, people look at you like you're so completely extreme. Like they probably look at you in Tulsa like saying, hey, our water's really bad. We got to do something about it.
Yeah, this is just how both sides of the coin it is. I'm supposed to speak out for my children, or I'm not taking care of them properly. I'm not supposed to just let them suffer as this is happening to them. But then at the same time, when I took them to, like I took my child who, she had a pneumonia and they would not treat her, and she was getting sicker and sicker and at risk of, you know, dying from it. And I took her to an ER. Her blood levels are like ICU levels, is what a nurse would tell you. Those are ICU. If an adult walked in, went to an ER, like, they would admit her. They wouldn't admit her. They sent her home like that, gave her a little bit of fluid, sent her home. She continued to stay sick. So I, you know, took her to this ER, took her to that ER, took her to another doctor. Someone turned me into DHS, which is like CPS probably in your state. And had to go through and show her that she has a real condition. Luckily, I had even taken pictures because it had gotten so scary, and even taken pictures of the, you know, how are you going to deny how sick she was? But the allegation was that my child was not even sick, and I was taking her to too many doctors. So on one side of the coin, if I don't take her, and they told me, don't get scared, the representative, the medical, don't get scared and stop taking her, because that's wrong.
See, that's the point, though. It's blaming the victim. And this is where, honestly, on my show, I know it sounds wide stretched, but I think domestic violence in this country, blaming the victim, the secrecy issue that developed after World War II, all of it. And it hasn't been like somebody sat in a little room and said, we're going to, we're going to create this system like this. It was like an infection that spread everywhere. And what we're seeing now is a culture and a population of people who are very sick and very confused and very hurt and really have no ability to make their voice and get their needs met. So I don't have the answer, but I am very grateful that you have joined us. I hope you'll join us again, Erica. We've got about a minute left. So if there's anything you'd like to say in the last minute, I know that's a short amount of time, but I want to let you say something.
We're working on putting our timeline into a book, and we continue to try to find a way into the court system. We know that what we've got going on at this point is a pattern, and it's gone on over 10 years. So we know that we still have some action to take. So we're always open to that if there's some connection. But we're working on putting everything into a book. So I would like to stay in touch with you and give you information about our website that we come up with.
Hope you'll come back in about 6 to 8 weeks and kind of give us an update. There's a lot more questions I'd like to explore in this issue. And I am going to do some research about the downwind effect. I mean, it's probably not also in the water. This is how sad the contamination is. But look, you have been listening to Lonnie Clark on The Age of Fission with Erica Dugan, a citizen who's been affected by toxic pollution in Oklahoma. Put your courage feet on, you guys. Please lean into it. Get active. Do what you think you can do. Every voice matters. Every person counts. I'll talk to you guys soon.
UC Anti-Media Radio. Your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV.